and the support that always you guys are doing for the health of everyone, not just me. I know we always paying attention to the health of everyone, but I always try to do my annual exam and labs. So thank you for every one of you guys always giving me your input on everything, because I have great results this week about my blood work. So that's good. Praise God to that. So we're going to continue improving on that area. That's good. You know, the triglycerides, it was really high, and now I'm controlling that like 50% down in comparison from last year. So praise God to that. So again, thank you everyone, because I know you guys are helping each other in health things. Oh, let's use these, use that, and this is going to improve in this area. So I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Let's continue. And that's a part of the community, right? The community of the church. Not just coming here, preaching and rebuking and doing anything like that. It's also helping each other, supporting each other. And that's the real community that God and Jesus Christ is trying to always put in our hearts and mind, to continue helping each other, supporting each other. Okay, so I want to open this topic today based on the baptism, and I think I'm going to share something with Jaili's permission. Good, thank you. So some experience that we always kind of have, maybe before or after baptism. So in the case of this testimony that I want to share with you guys, is based off after the baptism of Jaili. Jaili was, she's my daughter, you guys know, and she was on a schedule on the baptism. We have 7 people scheduled, and then we baptized 8. She was number 8. The Holy Spirit touched her, and then she got baptized. Now Monday, next day, we have an experience about a scam over the college email. You were thinking like maybe they have a really good protection over there in the email of the college or work or anything like that, but no, there's scammers going through there and doing some things. So we believe that everything was fine, everything was legit, and then we fall on that, and Jaili and myself, we lost some money over there. And right away after baptism, you know, you have that beautiful experience, you start going through some different thoughts in mind. And you start like doubting things, or maybe start saying like, what's going on, or what's supposed to do, what I supposed to say, or whatever. You know, that type of things that happen in our mind. And that's the type of confrontations and challenges and things that we are experiencing in our life. And that's normal. It's just how we are gonna react is gonna define how we gonna be receiving in our life. And that's the part that I want to share with you guys today. Because right away when that happened, the first thing I say, don't let the joy from yesterday go away. Forget about that. This money comes, money goes, we will get that money back, don't worry. And I never shared my testimony, but I told her, part of my past life before Jesus Christ, I was doing some delinquency, and I told her, I was doing the same thing in my past life, and don't worry, you know, maybe I was doing it because I want to support my family, I didn't have money, so maybe indirectly, we are supporting that person, maybe that person is supporting his family, I don't know. Move on. Let's continue enjoying the life with Jesus Christ in our life. And that's it. And that's the things that we are be facing in our life. And today I just want to share with you guys the scripture that it is in Matthew 18, but we're not going there yet. I want to share with you guys first some things that we're facing in our daily life, like temptation. And I want to share some scripture that you might be guys already know. And that reminds me of one joke. The joke of this guy that he was, according to the doctor, he was overweight, and then he's supposed to download the eating the cakes. So that way you can control the sugar, that way you can control your weight, and that way you can be healthier. So this guy, in order to do that, he decided to use a different route, to work and not stop and not pass by his favorite bakery. So he will go to around the other route. Anyway, it was maybe farther or longer to get work. But then this time he arrived at work with a beautiful, nice cake. And now his co-workers start like joking with him and say, well, wait a second, you're not supposed to eat cakes or do anything like that. And he say, well, guys, let me tell you something. This is what happened. I just asked God and say, God, if you don't want me to stop in my favorite bakery, please, just don't make, you know, the front door in the front of the bakery parking lot be open. Always a car have to be there, okay? So then, guys, imagine what happened. The spot was open by the 8th time that I went around. So, and that's the thing of the life, that sometimes we are provoking those things. We're looking for those things. Instead of maybe the first time, this body was maybe filled and you're supposed to go straight to work. No, he continued going around until the spot was open. And that's the thing that we're facing. And going through the scripture, in Matthew, I want to start really quick with Matthew 4. Matthew 4, 1, what it says? Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Pay attention. Who led Jesus Christ to the wilderness? The Spirit. I know. Because that's the mentality. But when we read the scripture, the Spirit was leading Jesus Christ to the wilderness to be tempted. And you were like, wait a second, the Holy Spirit is leading Jesus Christ to be tempted? That doesn't make sense in my mind. Because your mind is always thinking protection from God, blessing from God, no harm, nothing from God. It's true. And it's true. It's just, do we need to learn these things? Number two says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and say, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Now the devil is tempting him. Number two, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Please, pay attention. Don't miss that one. God is not tempting you. He's just not going to let you be tempted more than you can bear. It's going to be there. The temptation is going to be there. The temptation of maybe getting angry, frustrated when you get in a scam. Right? Getting mad, frustrated, looking options. How I can get this guy? Right? Because that's the first mentality, the first feeling that you will get in your flesh. I want to get this guy. Trying to lose that blessing, that joy from God in your life. That's the temptation that we're facing every single day. And now, according to Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. That's a blessing. He's not saying, I'm going to remove the temptation. You're going to be open wide in this place, and wow, that's a great blessing. No, there's going to be stuff. Now, I will give you the way out so that way you can endure it. But also, you will not receive anything that you cannot hold or handle it. Whatever you are getting exposed in your life, it means you can handle it. It means you can bear that temptation. Hebrews 4:14, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, you have something to look for. Someone that he already came here to the earth and he was tempted like you and me, but he did not sin. You and I, maybe it's a different story. Maybe sometimes we just follow our flesh and then allow the temptation to control our life and getting the joy out of our hearts and minds. James 1:13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. He's not tempting you. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. So who is bringing the temptation in your life? It's not God. The devil is the tempter. But really, according to this scripture in James 1, 13 and 14, what it says? Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires. So that means it's me. My own evil desires, my own evil in my flesh is the one that is tempting me. I'm putting the restrictions in my life. I'm putting the temptations in my life. I can decide what is going to be tempting me or not tempting me. You have the rights and the power to do that. Why? Because Jesus Christ, he was over here. He was tempted in everything without sin. Now with him in my heart, in my life, free. No temptation. Let's close the church and go home. That's the message. That's it. So today I just want to talk about that enticement. And that enticement that you and I, we are facing every single day. And in order to do that, I just want to go through the scripture in Matthew. And we're going to stay over there in Matthew 18. This is the story when Jesus Christ was talking with the disciples about the little ones. Matthew 18:1. At that time, why? It says at that time. What happened at that time that then Jesus Christ started talking about? So in order to understand that, we have to go back to 17. 17, the whole chapter in Matthew is talking about a few things. Transfiguration happened over there. So now you have three disciples there. You saw Jesus Christ transfiguration, which means they saw something miraculous over there. And then they also saw a miracle when Jesus Christ came down from the mountain. The disciples couldn't remove the devil or demon out of a person. And then he rebuked that demon and get out of the person. So they are facing all these things. And then they also face the tax collector miraculous thing with Peter. That's in 17. And we get to that point on the tax collection, the people were asking, hey, Jesus Christ is not paying his taxes. What's going on over here? So, okay, that's fine. Jesus Christ said to Peter, Peter, go to the fish. The fish have money in his mouth. With that money, you will pay the tax. A miraculous thing. And that happened, showing you humility, authority, and responsibility. Because you have to be responsible also to pay the taxes over there. So he was showing that. And then in that moment, he say, okay, in that moment, in that time, when that happened, he started in verse 18, verse 1, or chapter 18, verse 1. At that time, after that, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? This guy didn't get it yet. They're still looking like, who's going to be the greatest here? I just want to know who's going to be the number one. Right? That's the type of mentality that we're seeing over here from the disciples. When you already are seeing a lot of things, you already run like 1.5 or 1 year of ministry of Jesus Christ with miracles, experiences, demons, everything like that, healing, everything. And anyway, you're still thinking, who's going to be the number one? I want to be the number one. That's the type of mentality that you can see here from the disciples. When you see in the letter from Paul, he say, we are running this race. And just think about it. When you're running the race, you're just running the race. You're not competing with anyone else. The most important thing that you are running the race, just finishing the race, not winning the race. Because if you're looking for winning the race, that means you are competing against your brothers and sisters. I'm winning. I'm number one. The most important thing is you finish the race of Jesus Christ, of faith, believing in Him. Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to Him and placed the child among them. And He said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. So if I go, and we talked about this before, if I go and ask the two children over there with Dewey right now, and I ask them, or Dewey, you can ask them right now what they're thinking about right now, in this moment, what they're doing. They're reading a book. Humble. They're just over there enjoying the life right now, just over there. Nice. Axel, right? So that's the type of heart mentality that we need to have as a children with Jesus Christ. But right now, just look inside of you. Why are you thinking right now? Maybe how I will pay my bills. Maybe how I can do this. Maybe how I can do the hate and the whole do thing, right? I know. We're worried about those things, and we have to get these things done. However, God, Jesus Christ, is telling us you need to have a mind and a heart of a children, a humble heart. And that was the time that they just came from the tax collection miracle. Humble, responsibility, having that accountability is that time of the moment that Jesus Christ just shared these with the disciples. That's the little ones that we need to have in us, that mentality, that heart, that we're not going to be here just with our own stress, things in our daily life, just enjoying the life with Him. And now we get to this point. Now, verse 6, it says, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, we just came from baptism, and we have some little ones over there, that they just start believing in Jesus Christ. Those who believe in me to stumble, it will be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Think about that one. What is the responsibility that you and I have with the people that they are just believing in Jesus Christ, or people that they still need to believe in Jesus Christ? Normally, in my past experience, when I was preaching of this topic, I was thinking like, I have to then cut my hand, cut my leg, not literally, I'm talking about spiritually, remove my eye, because they were causing in my life a sin. That was the way that I was preaching that. And we can preach about it. That's fine. But today, I want to just change that a little bit based on this verse when it says, it will be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. So he's talking about the person that is doing that. So number 7 says, woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. So it's kind of like a condemnation to the world. Now, it says, such things must come. They're supposed to be there. And I know you want to remove it. But such things that the world are putting in your life, they're supposed to be there according to Scripture. There must come. There must be there. But woe to the person through whom they come. Now, Jesus Christ is talking, going back. Disciples, who's going to be the number one? The little ones. The one that have the heart. The one that have the mind. Now, the person that is going to put a stumble block or something is responsible of these of these little ones. So be careful. Pay attention, because you're not supposed to put any stumble block to these little ones. So now from the other point of view is you and me, we are responsible of not putting any stumble rock, block, or anything on the path of these little ones. Because otherwise, it says, if your hand and your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or 2 feet and be thrown into eternal life. Fire, sorry. Thank you. So, in other words, what it says, you, as a responsible person that is open the path to that little ones, the new believers, the person that needs to believe in Jesus Christ, don't put any stumble block over there. Help them, support them. The first thought that I want to share with you guys, according to that, which is using the representation of the foot, it is the spiritual responsibility. You and I, we are responsible for that. To open the path, to give the way, which is Jesus Christ, to give the way to the little ones, to give the way, the path, show them the way that they're supposed to walk. You and I have that spiritual responsibility. But now if your foot is not able to do that, to do the spiritual responsibility to help that person, then cut it off. Remove it. Because if you remove it, then you can help that person to walk the way of Jesus Christ. But if you're not able to do that, then you're putting a stumble block to that person. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying over here, because in the verse before that one, he's talking to those persons that they are putting a stumbling block in the path or in the way of the new little ones that are believing in Jesus Christ. And that's the part that we need to be careful, because you and I, we are responsible of that. Now, the other point that I want to share with you guys, it is the representation of the hand. Because he say hand and foot. And I always believe that the Bible is really specific in what it's saying. So now when he's talking about the hand, he's talking about helping and supporting. You are giving the way. You are showing the path. Now also help and support those new little ones or the new believers. And if you're not able to do that, then you're putting a stumbling block. According to Scripture. And now we get to this point. When I get to Hebrew explanation on the New Testament, on the Bible, it was talking something really interesting, because your hand and your foot, you can put a stone or you can put a stumbling block in the path. It's physical. If we can look at it as a physical, and then I can move it, I can put it over there. Let me just put it over there so that way he can fall. You're just depending on the intention that you're doing the things. That you really want to help that person. That you really have the spiritual responsibility to help that person, the new believer. Because then you get to the point of the eye. According to Scripture, it says, and if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out, right? And throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. When I read this in Hebrew, it says, if your eye is removing the stone, according in Hebrew, if your eye is removing the stone, then cut it out. And you say, like, wait a second. Why? Because the stone is supposed to be there. Remember. The temptation, it must come, according to Scripture, right? Don't remove it. That's not yours. Woe to the world for all the stumbling things that they are putting in your way. Anyway, those things must come. I don't have to do anything there. If the stone is there, leave it there. It's supposed to be there. It's doing the job. My job, my responsibility is going to be to dodge it. I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to let you to damage my path or creating a stumbling in my life. That's my responsibility. But the stumbling block, it's going to be there. And I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to remove it. And that's what it says, or the meaning of the eye, which is, do not ignore it. That's the last and third point that I want to share with you guys today. Because your eye can ignore it, and now you don't have visibility of the stone, and fall and trip. So do not ignore it. It's there, but I'm not going to move it. I'm not going to take it and raise it and remove it. I'm just going to leave it there because it must come. So I'm just going to keep walking in the sideway. Let me just get out of the way and continue walking. Because those things are there and meant to be there for a reason and purpose in our life, so that way we can apply the Word of God in our life. Just imagine a nice and beautiful life without any problems and situations. How you can apply the Word of God without that? Right? Just think about it. Nice, beautiful, love, patience, tranquility. Everything is nice and beautiful. Let's continue enjoying the life. I don't have to apply the Word of God because it's just so beautiful. There's nothing here happening right now for me to apply the Word of God. So those things must come and must be there so that way I can apply the Word of God in my life. Now, after sharing those three points over there, Jesus Christ continued with the parable of the wandering sheep. And he keeps talking the same thing. He's in the same topic. Now he's saying over here, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. He continued talking about the little ones. The people, the new believers, the people that have that heart and mind. And it's not just new believers, because you maybe have 20, 40 years as a believer, but you need to have a heart of a child, according to Scripture. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. And this is when the people always share, scholars, theologians, that every child have an angel. Because the angels are always facing the face of God according to Scripture. And that means they are right over there waiting for the decision of God. What do you want me to do? I'm protecting this child right now. I mean, face to face, seeing your glory, seeing your manifestation, God. I'm first thing right away here, waiting for your decision, your call. And the point over here is that Jesus Christ is saying, do not despise. So he's kind of telling you and me right now, and also to the disciples in that moment, don't ignore this. Don't despise it. This is something really important. When you have 100 sheep and one of them got wander or, you know, get out of the group, thank you. You go and find it. You go and looking for that one. You leave the 99 over there and you go and find for that one. And that's why in verse 14 it says, in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Last but not least, he continued then dealing with sin, sharing with the disciples, because right away Peter says, wow, I have to do all those things with the little ones. What about if he sinned with me or he do it? Do I have to forgive him 7 times? Looking reasons or looking purpose, how I can do this now. You're telling me to do these things. Who's going to be the number one? The little ones. Okay. And if you cannot help, support, guide these little ones, then cut off your head, sorry, your leg, your foot, your hand, cut off your eye, get it off. Because it's really important that you are not ignoring these things. You need to help and support the little ones. And now he say, God don't want anyone to perish. If one of them get out of the group, we'll go and find it and look for that one. Because he don't want anything to perish. And then Peter says, okay, what about if he do this, or that little one, or my brothers and sisters sin against me? Do I need to forget him 7 times? 70 times 7. Meaning like, you have to forgive it and continue. But it's really interesting the way that Jesus Christ is proposing that, because he just goes step by step. Go you by yourself, then if not listen to you, then go you and another witness, 2 or 3, and if he's not listening to you, okay, take it to the church, and if he's not listening, then let it go. Unfortunately. And then after that let it go, this is the last point that I want to share. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And that reminds me 2 chapters before that one, in 16. Jesus Christ is talking with the disciples and say, who the people are saying I am? Or am I? Right? Well, I am. And then they say, oh, some people say that you are the prophet, Elijah, or Isaiah. Some people say that you are John the Baptist, and, you know. Well, you, Peter, who you say I am? You are the Messiah, the Son of God. Whoa. That was not revealed by the flesh, by the blood. It was revealed by my Father in heaven. And that's when he say, on this rock I will build my church. Now pay attention, because when he say rock, he say rock in lowercase, which he means is the opposite way. Peter, it means Petros, which he means a small rock or small stone. But then when he say, on this rock I will build my church, that word in Greek, it means larger stone, big rock. And he's talking about the faithful comment Peter just says in that moment. What is that? On this rock I will build my church. On this revelation that you get from my Father, that I am the Messiah, the Son of God, I will build my church. And then after that he say, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on here, just make sure that whatever you bind on heaven is going to be bind here. And also the other way, whatever you lose is going to be loose also in heaven. In other words, you and I, we together, we have to be in agreement. And we create that bind, or maybe we create a loose. And then God will support that. Because when two or more are together in my name, Jesus Christ, I will be there. So it's really interesting how Jesus Christ created all this conversation with the disciples and shared that with us today, saying the faith that the new believers are receiving, you and I, we are responsible of not putting any stumbling block on their way. We just got those people that get baptized on Sunday. What we are doing now next is the most important thing. Because like what we talked on last Sunday, this is not just a certificate. It's not just a paper that says, congratulations, you are baptized. It's more than that. It's more spiritual. It's something that we need to continue helping and supporting the community and the new believers in become like Jesus. Okay. That was just the intro. My bad. I was getting too excited over there. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, a precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And he and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone that causes people to stumble. Whoa, wait a second. I was just telling you guys right now that we are responsible of not putting the stone or any block. The scripture in Matthew 18, it doesn't say stone. It's just don't put a stumble. It can be a block. It can be a wall. I don't know what else. It can be anything. The most important thing is that you don't have the intention of your heart of putting something to stumble the person that is a new believer. In other words, depending also how you are, your testimony is presenting to the people and how you are directing everything from God through those new little ones or the believers. But now this scripture is saying that Jesus Christ become the stumble stone. How I can explain this now? It's simple. He's over there. If you don't believe in him, he's going to be a stumble stone for you. Because you're going to try to be this human without any sins or mistakes. I'm good. But Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is not in your heart. Now, when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, the Holy Spirit in your heart, helping you, Jesus Christ is not going to be a stumble stone for your life anymore. Now, for those that don't believe, according to Scripture, before you can read it again, he is a stumble stone. Because you cannot meet his standards. According to Scripture, he was without any sin. You're trying that? you cannot make it. Now you have Jesus Christ in your heart, which he make it for you, and you believe and trust in him. Now he's not a stumbling stone in your life. But other people out there that they don't believe in Jesus Christ, maybe Jesus Christ is now a stumble stone for them, because they're going to try and try and try without Jesus Christ, and they're going to keep falling, 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 and falling, because Jesus Christ is the only one available that he did that for you and for me without any sin. And a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. I don't know nothing. I didn't write the scripture. Matthew 5:28, but I tell you, Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too share in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Matthew 10:28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And that's not the devil, just so you know. What I'm trying to share with you guys here, it is we are the responsible ones to put or not put those stumble things, right? According to Scripture. And sometimes, like the politicians and people out there, what is the number one thing that they use to try to get people or gain people? Also ministers. I'm including myself here. I'm blamed of that, I guess. We use fear. Fear is the number one thing that you can use to manipulate people. Right? Do you remember those sermons? Pretty much. And I'm not saying that's not true. Please. The same thing like always. It just depends on the intention of your heart that you're doing the things or you're proclaiming things. Because we know what is the end of the people that they don't believe. We know the end of the story of the people that they believe. But then some ministers or politicians over there use fear. Vote for me because this guy or this lady is going to take out all your money from the taxes. I'm going to get it a little bit deep over here. Accept Jesus Christ, or you're going to hell. I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just saying depending on the intention that you're saying that, it will determine if you're putting the stumble stone. Well, what are you doing? Let the person and the people that is putting that stumble stone over there, leave it there. If Jesus Christ is a stumble stone for another one, you're not responsible of that. We are just responsible to help the people. And if your hand, your food, and your eye is not able to help those people, then cut it off spiritually. So that way you can help those people. And according to Scripture, it says, do not be afraid to who can kill your flesh, your body. Because you know where is your soul and your spirit and where you're going. And that's the one that you have to pay attention and be careful. I don't want to put fear on you guys. That's not the point of these sermons or teaching or anything. Love God. Love what Jesus Christ did for you. That's all. Do not be afraid. Fear God, but then the fear of God, it is respect. Respect Him. The respect of Him is bringing love and relationship with Him. And that's it. I want to leave you with Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8, and we're going through verse 11. This is what the Lord says to me with His strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of these people. Do not call conspiracy everything these people call a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. And do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. Hallelujah to that one. Praise God. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. He will be a holy place for both Israel and Judah. He will be a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, He will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Bind up this testimony of warning and seal up God's instruction among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding. His face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in Him. Here I am, and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty who dwells on Mount Zion. Wow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Enticement. You and I, we are just responsible of that. Just fear God, not the world, not whatever they're saying on you or the church or Jesus Christ. You have your experience with God. And if you don't, ask for that. Ask God to give you an experience, a touch. And I know for sure He will give you some experience. So that way you can rely on that faith and truth that what He did for you is for you, for your salvation and your family. Don't fear. Don't be afraid to those who can kill the body. They cannot kill the most important thing, which is the soul and the spirit. So in other words, fill that soul with God. Don't let anything stumble in your life. Make any decisions in you. And we are responsible of that. Enticement. Help the others. Help the people. Support them. That's what Jesus Christ was saying to the disciples. And I believe that's what He's trying to say to me and hopefully to you guys today. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You. We praise You. We worship You. We're declaring the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that Your blessings are here with us, and that we are continue learning and growing with Your Scripture. Please, God, put in our hearts and mind and our soul to understand that we are just fear of You, respecting You, loving You, having a relationship with You, And then nothing or anything out there in the world will be creating any fear in us. Also give us the understanding to continue helping and supporting the little ones. That heart, that mind of a little child. Humble, responsible, and blessed by you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we declare these blessings over the church, over everyone right now here. And we thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for everything that you are continually doing in our life. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, that I also would only bring what you want said. Your heart, your mind, your thoughts, let them be mine, Lord God. We are living in a time where information is everywhere. It's more than we need to know. And sometimes it's more than we should know. We can go online and find out the birth date of a superstar. We can go in and find out how tall that person is. We can go in and find out their spouse, the things that they've done right and the things they've done wrong, how they were raised, all kinds of things. And we can go there and we can read that and we can see that, and it can become part of our knowledge and our information that we use. But in fact, it does not tell us who they are. It does not make us their friend or them our friend. It is only information. If you'll excuse me, this Bible that we have here is information also. Without Holy Spirit to tell us what it really means and what it really says, and to know our Lord and what He's thinking, we have to have Holy Spirit. I don't know if you know Bill Johnson, who he is. He's a pastor of a quite large church in Redding, California. He is a glory carrier. He loves the Lord. Miracles happen because of his ministry. I was listening to one of his messages from a couple of years ago, and this sentence, this quote in it, just meant so much to me that I had to transcribe it. He said, "This book is designed that intimacy unlocks it. It's only to be understood through relationship. Anything you can get apart from intimacy will not transform you, just entertain you." Praise the Lord. To know that intimacy with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, to know what He's thinking, what He's, you know, trying to tell you, is something else. The only way you get that is by being in the Word, yes, but letting Him show you what it means. To be in His presence in prayer, to ask Him to come into the room with you, to be there, to talk to you. And when you're having your prayer time, to not only tell Him what you need or what you want, but to let Him tell you what He wants and what He needs from you. To spend time, not even, or let me put this better, to not spend time just talking to him, but to sit and talk and listen to what he's saying, to just be in his presence, to feel his presence, to know he's there. These are the times that we get to know what it is. I was asked earlier today, how do I come up with these things? It's in that time that I spend listening and hearing him and being alone with him that I'll know what it is. John, the same way. Anyone who is doing the job that the Holy Spirit wants us to do is going to hear only in times of intimacy, being with him. Hallelujah. I'm challenging myself and you also to spend more time, in his presence, to know exactly what it is he wants us to know, what he wants us to do, where he wants us to be, so that we get to know his voice and his alone. This table is open to whoever knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I invite you now. Hallelujah. He came so that we could have that intimacy with him. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we would know what's on his mind and his heart. That the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you broke your body. You allowed your body to be broken for us. We ask that it would bless us, that we might bless you. Hallelujah. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Ask you to bless this. May we understand what it is to belong to you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for this church that believes that you are who you say you are, and walks on that path. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Barb. Thank you, church. Before we go, anyone needs any prayer? Do you feel like God touched your heart or speak to your heart and you want to just come forward and pray? We can pray for you. And if not, we always have a team over here in this corner if you need to receive any prayer, guys. But please, church, let us know. We're here. We're here to help and support and pray for each other. And if not, then we can just dismiss and enjoy the day, enjoy the rest of the week. Bless the Lord with everything that you're doing. Praise the Lord with everything that you are saying and anything that you are doing in your life. Praise God. Enjoy the time, the opportunity that he's giving to us. And be a doer of the word, not just listener. Amen. God bless you. Love you, church. Have fun and enjoy the rest of your day and week. Love you. God bless you. Thank you.